Molly Ringwald filled in for me on the show last week, and she was really good. Maybe a little too good. Is there anything this actress slash singer slash novelist cannot do? While she was here, she sat down with the photographer, Lori Simmons.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Lori Simmons began taking pictures seriously, professionally, as a young woman in the 1970s. She shot these homey scenes, kitchens stocked with food and living rooms with sofas and TVs, except all really tiny because she only photographed doll furniture. Her daughter is Lena Dunham. Before the TV show Girls, she directed the terrific film Tiny Furniture that was inspired by her mother's art. Simmons also plays the artist mom in that movie, a kind of crabbier version of herself.
You get him out of our house.
What?
I want him out of my home.
He's not doing anything. He's only been in my room.
He's in my laundry room, mixing lights and darks.
He doesn't have any other place to go.
That is not my problem. You are not even having sex with that person. I am going out with Jane and Pierre tonight, and when I return, he is gone.
Fine.
Lori Simmons, hi.
Hi.
I couldn't help but notice you when we played that clip from the film. You just looked immediately, I think you blushed and grabbed your face and I don't know, it looked a little bit like horror.
It's a little bit painful because I find Siri to be a sort of excruciating character. And I give lots of credit to my daughter for getting me to go to that place, to be that person in the film. And of course, people who saw the film and were confused about it and knew that I was her real mother just assume that that's who I am, mm-hmm. that person. But hearing that little bit, which is a particularly nasty, juicy bit, mm-hmm. I do feel sort of embarrassed. Uh-huh. I don't know how I even did that.
I know that there's a hard edge to that character, but I found her really sympathetic.
That's because you're a mom, actually.
I think you're absolutely right. I do. It's something that I deal with all the time with my daughter. You know, I love all my children, but you know, that sense of entitlement that, that my daughter's generation and your daughter's, mm-hmm. I think it drives me crazy. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think when I saw that film, I didn't necessarily think that she was, a villain of any kind. I mean, there's no real villains in the movie, but
I think that mothers would sympathize with the Siri character because she was a single mother trying to make a living, obviously putting her children through school and having to do her work. So mothers would be more sympathetic, but kids or young women in their 20s just thought she was a flat-out bitch. I mean, all the reactions came back to me.
Do you feel like you have, I've noticed in your work that there is this, you don't really include your children or your actual family life at all in your work. I assume that was a choice that you made.
Well, I know it's shocking to say this, particularly coming from a family that has Lena Dunham in it, but we're actually very private. Mm-hmm. And I did a series of pictures of my parents very early in my work life, and I felt like I was mining my past and photographing my parents in an effort to understand them more. I'm sure this is something you can probably relate to. And so when Lena took on this project and Grace and I were in it, at first I didn't want to be in it, but then I understood that she was trying to do something, that the exploration was similar to things that I had done, so I needed to take it seriously. Mm. But no, I don't use my family, and you know, I only mine my own past in a more abstract way. I mean, things are very personal to me, but the images I use are more general, and obviously I don't really until recently, I don't really work with human figures. They're mannequins and dolls and puppets and stand-ins. So I don't really go to that super personal place.
Mm. I read somewhere that you actually don't even really like dolls very much.
I do not.
Which seems so interesting to me for somebody who has used them so much. How did that happen that you came upon the idea to start working with dolls?
Well, my original idea was to work with furniture in small rooms, and my assumption was that the camera could tell lies, you know, lie upon lie. So I actually deluded myself or tricked myself into thinking that the small scale rooms could be confused for human scale rooms. So when I was buying all of this dollhouse furniture in these dollhouses, they would come with little figures that I'd throw into a pile in the corner of my studio. So one day I just picked one up and started using it, and everything kind of changed that day, although I felt very embarrassed about what I'd done.
Why?
I'd come to New York when conceptual art and video and all of this very intensely rigorous, intelligent and conceptual work was happening, and I just thought, oh no, like this is like girl play. Like playing is so taboo for adults. Like I didn't really want to enter that space. I wanted my work to feel more rigorous.
Mm.
So there was always that edge of feeling kind of embarrassed. But to get back to your initial question, I was one of those kids, like a little bit ADD, a little bit peripatetic, who would like cut the heads off, cut the hair. I mean, and there's like a whole batch of girls or women that I know now that dealt with their dolls that way. And then there are the ones that fetishize their dolls. Well, what did you do?
I did not cut the heads off my dolls. In fact, I had a doll named Baby Chrissy.
Mm.
So I really loved this doll. And somebody, a cousin actually, cut my doll and drew on it. And it was very painful for me.
A boy cousin or a girl cousin?
It was a boy cousin,
mm-hmm.
Of course.
Of course.
But I remember just how upsetting that was, you know, and the fact that the hair didn't grow back. And I never had great hair. My mom was always cutting it short because she thought that if you cut it short, then it would grow in thicker, which is just the biggest fallacy of all time. So I had this doll whose hair grew, Baby mm-hmm. Chrissy, and it wouldn't grow back once it was cut. And I just remember how painful that was.
That does sound tragic.
I don't think I've ever actually talked about that out loud.
It's good to get it out.
Feel better. So I was one of those. I don't know if I necessarily fetishized my dolls, but I definitely they were stand-ins for children.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I always knew that I wanted to have children. And I started practicing, you know, when I was, as I think a lot of kids do. But my daughter, for instance, never played with dolls at all.
Mm-hmm.
She would only play with little cats. And I thought that was really curious, and that there was, you know, what that meant that she didn't play with dolls.
Yeah, I sometimes feel that it's something that's foisted upon young girls. But I think that you hit on something really key when you said they were stand-ins, because I think that's what initially drew me to them. I needed something to move around my studio table. Since I wasn't going to go out and photograph in the street, I didn't see myself as, you know, a street photographer looking for the definitive moment. I had to set it all up. So using dolls or puppets or whatever figures I could find as stand-ins was really the key to why I used them, rather than some nostalgia or passion.
So I was just thinking about that with you, about the fact that there weren't that many female artists or photographers, you know, that were doing what you were doing. You must have really wanted it.
Well, it was interesting. I've thought about this a lot. There's a way that I kind of sneaked into art school. Because somehow my parents saw me, that I could potentially be someone's wife with artistic talent, and perhaps I would show my paintings in the PTA show or the synagogue show or the church show.
Mm-hmm.
So they had their idea about what it could be. And my mother said, you can go to art school if you get a teaching degree to fall back on. Which is what mothers always said. You needed something to fall back on.
Mm.
you know, in case you got divorced. So I did, you know, I did go to art school, but I never got, you know, I managed to never get the teaching degree, never got certification. And, you know, it's always my kids, my daughters always say, you know, how did you figure out, how did you make it happen? Because they can see that a lot of their friends' parents or people that they know didn't really do it, didn't really go to New York and live the life and pay the dues. Mm-hmm. So they give me a lot of praise. But of course, as you know, when you're in the middle of it, you're not thinking about how special you are. You're thinking about how you're going to make it work.
Thank you, Laurie Simmons.
Thank you, Molly Ringwald.
You can see some of Laurie Simmons' really excellent photographs at studio360.org. Her movie, My Art, is in post-production right now.
Oh, I was so nervous.
That was so much fun. You were?
I was. I was nervous.
And you can hear more interviews that Molly did while I was away with the novelist Lauren Groff and the cabaret duo, whom I love, Kiki and Herb. Those are both at studio360.org.